Blog Talk Radio.
From the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And good morning. It's Saturday, February 20th, 2010, and it's actually, believe it or not, sunny in Oregon. A little cold.
Oh, wow.
Hey, I'll take sunny.
Yeah, sunny is nice because, you know, through the windows actually create warm. It can be cold outside. That's okay.
It's still I like warm inside.
Is it still winter officially?
I think it still is.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. I mean, in Oregon, we only have two seasons, and that's winter and construction, so sometimes the two just live together. Anyways, we have a really good show for you today, and we'd like to invite you to call in and participate. And you can do so by dialing 646-721-9887. You can join us in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBN, or you can send us an email. We do read the emails. With your show suggestions and comments at talk@krbnradio.com.
Well, we've got a problem with the lines today, so they're cutting a little bit. But it is interesting, and good morning, and welcome to the land of noise.
The land of noise?
No voice.
Oh, no voice. Yeah, that's me today. I lost my voice, and I think I found it in the living room, just laying there, and picked it up.
It's interesting because when you're on the radio and doing things like that, that's the only thing that ever happens to you. If you were a piano player, you'd have, you know, arthritis in your finger. But if you're a radio announcer, everything happens to your voice. Everything happens to your voice or your mouth or whatever. So just get used to it.
Yeah.
It's horrible, but
I was just thinking, it's just like coming back from the dentist and having to go in the air, you know. Oh, sure.
Yes. I have never been one who takes any kind of drugs or anything, but I remember one time when I did come back from the dentist and they gave me some painkillers, and I took them, and it didn't help on the pain, and so I thought, but I didn't seem to bother me, and I went to work, and they sent me home. I guess I was pretty bad. I didn't notice it myself. I guess it wasn't good. Anyway.
Yeah, in the headlines of the next day's newspaper, radio announcer is drunk on the radio.
Really? Because I've never drank either. One of these weird people that never does any of this stuff, I guess. But it's true. Anyway, so basically, what we do? Today or something, updates on the news or something there or not?
I think you got a couple items in your folder I will start with.
Well, one of things I wanted to talk about is I've got to ask you, I mean, it's been all over the news, and I can't imagine you haven't heard anything about it, the apology of our world-famous golfer, Tiger Woods, and everybody has an opinion. Did you get to hear it or hear excerpts from it or anything?
Unfortunately, I have not. The only thing that I heard is that he set up a 10-minute private conference to give like an announcement, but I haven't heard the announcement or anything of that other than that.
Okay, that's too bad. Okay, because I find it quite interesting. I did hear it. It ran 13 minutes or so, and he read it. He read every word of it, and I hear all kinds of people saying, well, he obviously isn't sincere. He obviously doesn't mean any of it if he had to read it. And they all get all upset because he didn't answer questions, didn't talk to anyone. He just read his statement, and that was it. Thank you. Goodbye. And So yeah, what upsets me is these same people, because, you know, I understand why he read it, and I can't believe they don't understand why he read it, because if he didn't write it down and read every word of it and said one word wrong, they'd hang the man if he tried to do it. They would just absolutely hang him for screw up. And now they're hanging him smack for it. And, you know, it's a can't-win situation for the poor man.
Well, same thing like in courtrooms. I mean, what difference does it make if he just, I'd like to read my statement and I feel that, blah, 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 versus, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to tell it.
Right, really.
I mean,
well, but, and in courtrooms, you're right, they're the same place. That's where the lawyers tear you up if you make any mistake, you know, pronounce the word wrong or something, and then they go after you for it because obviously you don't mean it if you don't know how to say it or something, I don't know. But I just, it's just upsetting to me that they get all over this. And in the first place, you know, I get really upset about all this personal life of people. You know, there is a point where his personal life is personal. Now, he was to lie and cheat, well, he didn't steal, I guess, but lie and cheat, and thought he could get away with it. But all it does is show that the man is not as smart as he thinks he is because he didn't get away with it. But it has nothing to do with how well he plays golf and what we should be interested in. Well, maybe it does. Maybe it has to do with how he plays golf because he has, well, spends most of his time doing other things than playing for golf. But it always seems golf seemed to be fine. So we shouldn't. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say is that I think it's really too bad that they just took him over the coals. And no matter what he did, they were going to do that anyway. Yeah, and of course they were all upset that it took you 3 months to come and say anything. Well, of course it took you 3 months. They thought he was going to get away with this. I mean, you know, it had nothing to do with the fact that he's a good golfer. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's famous. He thought he was smart enough to get away with it. He isn't. So, sorry. Tough luck.
It does sound like a couple sponsors are going to stick with him on this. But,
Oh, yeah, the big sponsors. Nike's sticking with him. In fact, I think everybody's going to stick with him. A couple of them decided to leave, and then Nike, of course. What is his name? Phil Knight? Is that his name?
Phil Knight.
Sunday Knight.
Yeah.
Decided that he would stick with him because, you know, he's still a golfer, and he still represents Nike very nicely and makes a lot of money for them. So, you know, why not? And first of all, my opinion of Phil Knight has raised considerably. I feel much better about him. But, yeah, I think it's worthwhile. I mean, he makes the money. I mean, if he's going to make money, here's how he does it. Listen, everybody says, well, he's a role model. He's a role model for all the children. If you can't teach your children how to act, then that's your fault. That's not his. You know,
well, he didn't take up golf to be a role model. He took up golf because he likes golf and he wants to make money.
Well, I guess he has a foundation that has to do with children, and he did choose to do that, supposedly he did. But I agree. I agree that he didn't take up golf to be a role model, except as golf. You know, and as a golfer, he can be a role model. But, you know, let's face it, all of our other role models have turned into sluts. So why not, you know?
Well, does anybody actually go into, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be a role model for all these kids. Does anybody actually really do that, or it just turned out a lot of them became famous, and now people are calling me a role model?
And probably most of them who do all these things, like his foundation and all that, it was probably something that was suggested to him by his business manager. Or, you know, it's good business to do this, so let's do it.
Right.
So, you know, anyway. Okay, so much for that. We should get off here and off his back. And live his life, and if he wants to destroy it, then that's his privilege. That's what it is. He's the one who made his life. If he wants to destroy his life, then that's his privilege. Now, we were granted, he's got a lot of people that he has supported, and everybody said, all those people then will be out of a job. Well, they were out of a job before he got there. Sorry.
Well, and it's just like, you know, President Clinton and Hillary, you know, when they got into their deal, you know, became a national news item, which a lot of people are just saying, no, that's up to them. We don't want to hear about this. Let's talk about the other things you're sneaking around. But, you know, that's just...
Well, everybody wants to hear about it, but everybody knows everybody does it just about. So, it's not a big thing. They seem to have pretty much forgiven Bill Clinton for his transgressions, and he even laughs about them in public. Well, whatever. Anyway, so much. Let's talk. We had a request, or it was mentioned by a listener, that we talk about the Olympics, the Winter Olympics going on in Canada. I think we should at least mention the Olympics in Canada. I find that very interesting. By the way, I don't know if you have any idea on why or why not. Mexico has no team in the Winter Olympics. Don't they have anything winter in Mexico? Is it never winter in Mexico? I've not spent any time down there.
No, I haven't either. But, you know, it's a good point. In fact, on that point, not just Mexico, but how many other countries are not represented in the Olympics?
Oh, well, there are only like 92 or something like that out of 180 or something that were at the Summer Olympics. So the Winter Olympics always have fewer countries in it. I don't know why, I was kind of surprised that Mexico didn't get in there. I mean, Brazil is in there, and a couple of other South American countries are there. Well, in Mexico, why aren't they in the Winter Olympics? I don't know. They do Olympics. They've even had the Summer Olympics in Mexico City. So we know that they do have the capability. But I guess in Mexico there's not a lot of snowboarding or something. I don't know.
Well, that makes it's a good point. Maybe something, you know, we should follow up on and do a little more research on that.
Yeah, that's a thought. That's a thought. While I was looking in Mexico, I was also in Mexico has 106 million, almost 106 and a half million people. Probably half of which live in Mexico City, I think. That's one big city. Whoa, huge city. But that's a pretty good sized population. That's half of, well, a third of our population. And so that's not a small country. But I was also noticing that Mexico generates 5% of its electricity from nuclear reactors.
Really?
And here's the interesting thing. It's 5% of its electricity is generated from two nuclear reactors. Only two.
Only two?
Only two nuclear reactors in Mexico. And Brazil, I mentioned Brazil. Brazil has two nuclear reactors also, generating 4% of its electricity. But Brazil has a huge amount of ethanol, because they have all the sugarcane and they make the ethanol cheap, and so they use an awful lot with ethanol down there. And but obviously, we need to, and we're talking about building another nuclear reactor in the United States, and we need to build about five of them in the United States, because that could bring our electric power rates down by quite a ways. And they keep sneaking up and sneaking up. And EWEB just raised their rates or something.
Right. And they're still talking about getting rid of a couple dams on the Willamette. But speaking of ethanol and sugar, we were doing that for a while. Sugar cane, turning it into ethanol and putting it into our tanks and rust and ruining all the hoses in our cars. But whatever became of that?
Well, first of all, it doesn't ruin all the hoses, by the way. Because if ethanol is made properly, it doesn't mess anything up. Second of all, we don't have sugar, and so we were doing it with corn. And, of course, when you start using corn for that, then they're going to start taking corn away from something else. We've gone about it entirely wrong, because we've generated, you know, we sort of stuck to the corn idea, and that's not what you need to make it with. We need to make it with, in fact, what they're doing now is they're doing it with the little scum in the pond. That's all I can think of. It's the word, but it's the same thing as every state has its own. I can't think of that word.
Algae or something?
Algae, that's it. That's the word. Thank you. Algae. Every state has its own algae. So you can go in and grow algae in any state of the country, not mess up the ecosystem at all, because there is some there already. And so, and algae actually is almost as efficient in making ethanol Thank you. It's almost, Kennedy just told me, Algie, it's almost as efficient in making ethanol as is corn. But, of course, sugarcane is much more efficient, and, of course, Brazil has tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of sugarcane. They export most of the sugarcane to other countries. But since they have so much of it, they can use it, and it doesn't cost much money, and it's already being grown anyway. So
yeah, but if they're using algae, then what are the mosquitoes going to do?
Well, we don't use the algae that's out in the pond that's for the mosquitoes. I heard complaining this on the radio some time ago about the algae thing. What they do is they can actually, and it is really kind of neat because you can use it. You can use wheatgrass, and one of the things everybody was going on with wheatgrass, and we could grow wheatgrass, but it takes thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of wheatgrass to do this. With algae, first of all, it grows unbelievably fast. You can grow in ponds that you put indoors, and you can stack these ponds so you can have a 10-story building, and each floor of the building is an algae pond, and you don't take up much footprint of the land around it. So you could actually have this algae pond right on the edge of town someplace. No one would even know what you were doing, and it wouldn't bother anybody. And, of course, even if there was an accident and that building fell down and all that algae flowed out into the ground, it wouldn't be any big thing because it's algae that you could have in the streamways wouldn't hurt you. So, you know, it's a really great idea, and they're working on it right now. There are states that are growing algae to try to do this sort of thing. So
you'd be an algae farmer.
An algae farmer, yes. Yes, would, actually. And it's quite effective and quite realistic at this particular point in time. It's really amazing. So
there you go. And you could probably qualify for the $2,500 in state credit for starting a new job.
Yeah, it would only cost me $10 million to build this thing, but I could get $500 of that back. You're right. How exciting. No, I think that there's a huge amount of money from the federal government, too, that could be put in there and part of stimulus money. So, but it will still cost a lot of money to do, of course. But but ultimately, overall, later on, we'd be making money.
Hey, maybe we should set that up in the state capitol. There's a lot of space there.
Okay. Anyway, going back to the Olympics, have you been watching the Olympics? I think it's been amazing. The United States is still ahead on the overall amount of. In fact, I think we're ahead on the number of gold medals that we've won so far, too. But we are definitely ahead on the number of overall medals that we have won. I've been kind of surprised at some small countries that are way up there in medals, but the United States is fine, and Germany second, and then Canada in the number of overall medals that we have won in the 2010 Nuclear Olympics. Yeah, right. Winter Olympics. Sorry, got nuclear on the brain.
Nuclear winter.
No. Let's not get into that. I don't even think that's real. So
we call it the Al Gore Winter Olympics.
Yes, that's getting a little carried away too. But
he didn't.
But as a matter of fact, it's the Al Gore Nuclear Winter Olympics because it's quite the opposite. It's way too warm up there, and they've had some problems with the fact that it's not cold enough to have all of these things. They have to keep generating their own snow and fixing their own snow. And the audience loves it, though. The audience thinks it's fantastic. They're sitting there watching this Winter Olympics and watching these people ski down these big slopes. And they're sitting there in stadiums in their shirt sleeves because the sun is shining and it's warm and it's just amazing what's going on. And yet I guess the luge run, whatever they call that thing, it's at refrigerators all the way down it to keep it cold enough to keep the ice.
Well, I heard that they're bringing in artificial snow and then keeping it cold with dry ice. And somebody brought up an interesting issue on another talk show. Now, all the dry ice that they're bringing in, as it evaporates, it emits greenhouse gases. You know, where's the outrage over that?
somebody's lying because they don't use dry ice. And consequently, and they don't bring in the snow, by the way. They have snow machines that manufacture the snow right there on the spot.
There you go. More reasons not to believe what you hear on the radio, folks.
They have actually put in, they actually went out and what was, I don't know exact figures, but they went out and checked all over the world to find out what different countries, areas use to make their artificial snow. And they checked every one of them out to make sure that they used the best one that made the best snow to begin with and also was effectively not going to mess up the environment. So whoever did all that, they didn't pay attention and didn't listen to what was going on because the Olympics. I watched the opening. By the way, I don't know if you watched the opening of the Olympics, but that was spectacular. I was absolutely – I have so much more – appreciation of our friends in the North Canada after that than even before. And I used to live up there, and I used to think, I was a little kid. I never even thought about the fact that Canada was a whole different country. Now we went back and forth between the two countries all the time doing things because I was only about we were only about 50, 60 miles from the border and only about 100 miles from Vancouver, and almost like it was more fun because Vancouver is a much bigger city than Seattle and much more and much more fun to go to and had more things to do. And we used to go up there. They have a thing every year called the Pacific National Exhibition, the PNE. And that is huge. It would be like what we consider, I guess, a state fair, but it would be more like a even bigger than that. It's huge. It's really nice, and it was a lot of fun. I used to go there every year to the PME and the kids there and have a great time. So it's just amazing how just recently in the last 15 years or so, I've even thought about being a different country. But now, of course, you have to have visas and all this kind of stuff to do almost anything. So it's become apparent that it's a different country. But it's just like being at home.
Anyway, if you'd like to join us in this conversation about this in our upcoming topic, you can do so by dialing 646-721-9887. We'll be more than happy to have you chime in. Glad to hear from you.
We'd love to hear from the person who asked us about the Olympics tennis because we'd love to talk to you about it too. I think the Olympics has been great this year for you. I've learned about curling. You know anything about curling?
Moving on.
Well, curling is where it's done on the ice, and you use these stones that you slide down the ice, and it's kind of like bowling, only it's not like bowling; it's more like chess because there's a lot of strategy to it and everything else. And I've been fascinated by it for some reason or another. I don't know why, but I've been absolutely fascinated by curling. And the United States is not doing well. We're always so close and usually right up until the end and some other country wins.
We have a curling crisis.
Sort of, yeah.
We're being beat by other countries in curling.
We are.
I think we should get Congress together and have it talk about our national curling crisis.
Well, that's an interesting thing because our national curling crisis is only because in the United States, in order to be you can't be a professional, you can't be paid, but that's not true because we have professional basketball players on our basketball team. So I don't know. But we don't pay our Olympians. Okay, the United States itself does not pay our Olympians. They contribute towards their certain expenses, but they don't actually pay the Olympics. All Olympians have to have another job in order to live, makes it a little
volunteer organization. But anyways,
Congress and call volunteer organizations.
If you have a topic or subject you'd like us to debate over or discuss, we'll talk about anything, literally, and well, within reason. But you can send it.
We'll talk about anything. This is online. We can talk about anything.
Yeah, you can send us your suggestions at talk@caribbeanradio.com or send us a note in the chat room. That's what our caller did last week. And again, we're happy to hear from you. Or you can call us and join us in this little scramble conversation, 646-721-9887.
Okay.
And I got a couple Oregon update things going on here, and then we'll get into our topic. Usually what's good for entertainment is, again, the Oregon legislature. They're always a good source for a good time. And some of the what I really get a kick out of is, now, in fact, believe it or not, for a brief moment, I was actually proud of these guys. Ted Taxengouge, our beloved governor, called a special session to talk about the kicker fund, which gives money back to the taxpayers if the actual revenues received by the government exceeded the, I think, 2% predicted. And the special session that he called, he wanted to kind of raise that amount, I think, to 2-4-6%. And so they called a special session back, and the lawmakers announced that they're going to be focusing primarily on jobs. Wow, about time. You know, especially in this recession and all the businesses that have been leaving Oregon. So one of the things that came out of the legislature was House Bill 3638, which would face Oregon lawmakers, and this is from the State Statesman Journal a couple days ago, Oregon lawmakers would face new restrictions on their own employment in the state government jobs, but would not be barred from jobs under a compromise approved Tuesday by the House Rules Committee. So basically, under the new restrictions, it lifts the ban on the contacts you make by being a legislature, you know, it gives you more options.
Okay, I guess I'm confused. I realize, of course, that jobs that are generated by the government don't count.
Right.
Because we're still paying for them. We have to figure out some way to get jobs generated by someone else. So all these make-work jobs only count like halfway. I mean, they do count to a certain extent because the money to these people that we give to the people for their wages, they do spend in other businesses and things like that. So that helps. But
right. Well, I guess to just kind of explain it a little bit better. Again, you know, forgive me because I am coming over a big cold here. Okay, Bruce Hanna from Roseburg says, I am pleased that we are able to include multiple ideas and create legislation that allows a person who serves in the legislature not to be excluded from gainful employment, but to go through a method. And I didn't write this one. I guess the point
not is, to be excluded from gainful employment, but I'll go along with that. And the legislature isn't really gainful.
Well, yeah, and he's saying that under the old rules that the Republicans proposed at least one session wait for lawmakers, similar to a 2007 law that imposes a same waiting period for lawmakers to become lobbyists in order to go apply for other jobs. And I guess my whole point, even bringing it up at all, is I'm not sure the exact count of how many lawmakers we have, but why are they even talking about it now? I mean, who cares?
Well, the only thing you mentioned there that bothers me is lawmakers leaving the position and immediately going out and becoming lobbyists.
I agree there.
We do need to have some sort of a handle on this lobbyist bit, because that's I don't know how you would handle it. I know they've got lots of regulation, and nobody seems to pay attention to them. I guess we're back to the business that I keep teaching, is that laws need to expire. All laws do expire, because we have many things we put them on the books and then just ignore them, because it doesn't convenient to go by them. Someone has come up with the idea, you know. And all these laws are probably generated from a very good source. I mean, somebody had a very good thought in mind, and they were very generous folks, and they wanted to help and everything else. But you look at the squeaky wheel, and the squeaky wheel is the one that is the most action. That's why we're protecting titmouse in Lower Cottage Grove or something. I don't know. It's very upsetting. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Absolutely.
Because we can't convince people with common sense to be the squeaky wheel for some reason or other. I don't know why. We need to get more of the general public, more of the run-of-the-mill folks to be squeaky.
Well, I agree.
That's weird.
I mean, I don't know. It seems like the quality of the people that we get into office, I don't know. I really don't know. Once you're in office, you're raked over the coals. You know, your background's examined, and every little thing that means nothing. I guess what I'm saying is that do you want to run for office and have your personal life just totally made a huge issue over on things that are not relevant?
Well, also happens if it becomes famous, obviously, i.e. Tiger Woods.
Right.
And almost every actor or actress that's famous and decides to go out and do stupid things like other people in the real world do. And, of course, other people in the real world can get away with it, but it's a little harder when you've got 50 million people peering at you constantly with cameras and microphones and so on.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is a problem. It is a problem. It really is. But, you know, on the same token, that's not a problem I think is ever going to get fixed, because the human beings are snoopy. Human beings are curious. Human beings want to know all the dirt. I think we can know all the dirt and not destroy the actor or the personality, because, you know, we can know all the dirt and still forgive it. That's not a problem. But, again, when somebody knows all the dirt, and somebody makes hard noises, the squeaky wheel again. And so we start listening to the larger population, not the minorities. And I don't mean minorities in terms of, you know, black, white, green, or yellow. I mean minorities in terms of small groups, you know, put for certain small things. We need to, if it's just a small group of people making a big noise, we've got to ignore it. We've got to learn how to ignore it and listen to the bigger group and, you know, get their opinion.
Well, a lot of the bigger group is just trying to make it through the day.
That's the problem. We're just trying to work and make a living and make it through, and we don't have time to make noise and squeak. So that's the problem. You know, we need to have...
Well, and one other little thing I want to bring up, and we're running kind of a little late here, so I'm...
Oh, my God.
My final little update is and this is by the Statesman Journal, actually, today. The Senate gave final legislative approval to House Bill 3623, which heads to Sleepy Ted's office, which will raise awareness about human trafficking in Oregon through the distribution of stickers of more than 11,000 licenses of the Oregon Liquor Control Commissions. The stickers will be supplied by a nonprofit group at no cost to the state, and businesses can choose where to display it on their premises. They'll be inserted with the annual renewal letters sent out by the OLCC.
Okay, I don't understand. I lost that somewhere.
Okay, well,
what are these stickers for?
Well, maybe this will explain a little bit better. And this is quoting from... Diane Rosenblum, Democrat, Portland, says, "While many believe this form of modern-day slavery happens only overseas, this tragic exploitation of women and children is a growing problem here in Oregon." So in other words, they're talking about human trafficking.
I don't understand. I haven't found a correlation between sticker and human trafficking.
It's to raise awareness about the human trafficking that's going on in Oregon.
How do stickers do anything?
And in putting it into the liquor stores?
Well, I mean, what is this a big sign that says don't traffic in human beings or something? I mean, what the hell is it? I mean, it's just, I don't understand.
That's
what is
the
a
point.
Sticker?
That's the point. You just made my point exactly. Like I said, this is a House Bill 3623. And apparently they say here in the article that they have a hotline called the Polaris Project, which began in December 2007, has already received 14,000 calls and made several arrests and victims finding help. Okay, well, maybe
well,
I just
one of the,
don't get
this is
why,
something
why,
maybe with a phone number on it, so I can report human trafficking if I know anything about it.
Actually, there is. There is a national hotline number, and that's 888-373-7888. Once again, 888-373-7888. And that's the Polaris Project. Or you can go to the website at polarisproject.org. But anyways,
my question is, how am I going to know if someone's trafficking in human beings?
And what does it have to do with OLCC? And even though the stickers are being supplied at no cost to the state, still somebody has to insert them into the renewal envelopes and send them out. So it's still costing us, but I don't know. I call me ignorant.
But I'm saying, I go in and I see this sticker. I mean, what does it mean to me? I mean, I don't, maybe I know of some little honey standing down on the corner of 5th and Pike or something and selling her body. I don't know if that's human trafficking or, I mean, she just may be doing this. I happen to be one of these people that don't mind that happening. if that's what she wants to do, I don't think every woman who's selling her body is doing it against her will. And even if it's a matter of being able to make a living. I keep hearing all these stories about these ladies who have opted to do that because they make more money at it. They make more money on it. It's a better job than they could have otherwise. And so that's just an option that they've gone with. And everybody says, well, but it's degrading to women and women like doing it. Well, I didn't like doing some jobs that I did either. I don't consider them necessarily degrading to men or anything, but still, I've had jobs that I didn't really love to do, and I didn't because I wanted to make the money. And so if it's just an option that this person made, I could have gone to a lesser paying job and not been happy doing it.
I think what they're talking about is like young women especially, I'm assuming, that they get kind of coerced to go overseas and whoever coerced them, took their visa or whatever, and they're stuck over there. I think that's what they mean.
How are we supposed to know about that? I mean,
that's
the window is just a total absurdity if that's the case. I mean, I could understand that I think someone is being brought to the United States and being used, and this is not impossible. Some people hire people on their business, on their farms, or to clean the houses or whatever, and one of them has mentioned to me that they didn't want to be here. Then, of course, you could get that number, but that's just pretty far-fetched myself.
Well, and speaking of jobs here, kind of on our show topic in the last 20 minutes of the show, and again, if you'd like to join this conversation, our phone number is 646-721-9887. The chat room is open at www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBN, or you can send your show ideas and comments to talk@KRBNradio.com. And Cliff, I have a job for you.
Okay.
This job here requires, it's 20 hours a week. It's a limited duration job. It's only a little over 1,000 hours in 12-month period. And basically, you are doing maintenance, doing some repairs, general cleanup, and just it's kind of like managing an apartment building, so to speak, but along that type of thing.
Okay.
But one of the qualifications here, I mean, other than the standards, you got no plumbing and everything, Spanish language is strongly desired.
Well, I think we have this particular point, being close to more Spanish-speaking people here than there are English-speaking people here.
Well, and that gets to the point. And I'm not trying to pick on Spanish-speaking people, but one thing that is kind of interesting that I'm seeing on a lot of job applications. In fact, what kind of spurred this subject is that we recently lost a loved one, and we're in the funeral home, and we're filling out all the paperwork. And the guy, the funeral director, asked us, was she Hispanic? It's like, what does that have to do with anything? You know, he didn't ask us, was she Caucasian? Was she Asian? Was she Japanese? It was Hispanic, you know. And what I'm seeing a lot on a lot of EEOC forms is questions like, are you Asian but not Hispanic? Or another specifically pointing out or centering on or focusing on whether or not you're Hispanic.
I guess probably one of the things I can think of in this particular instance is that everybody and their brother is getting upset at the number of Hispanic people in this country. And so people were trying to determine who is and who isn't. But the idea of you know, in a funeral home, asking if the deceased person is Hispanic, it's just, in my opinion, totally stupid. Unless, of course, it's something that he's being required by the government to do. And, of course, still just as stupid, he still has to do it. It's just, you know, I do concern myself. Because I keep hearing this statement, and I don't know exactly how it goes, but basically saying that it's only going to be 20 years, and we English-speaking people are going to be in the minority in this country. And that is a bit of a concern. Is Spanish the second most spoken language in the world? I don't know.
I know that a lot of countries, actually, English is taught as a second language. But let me.
Actually, I was saying second to English. I mean, I understand English is the most spoken language in the world.
Yeah, that I don't know. But
let me
read this.
It's no longer that. It used to be.
This is actually off an employment application. One that I filled out recently. And under the EEOC employment forms, you know, the ones that they claim that they never look at or don't use against you, but they require you to fill them out.
Yeah.
Okay. It says race, and of course I can't spell it. Whatever. The other word for race. Check only one box of the following definitions: white, not Hispanic or Latino origin; Hispanic or Latino; black; African American, not Hispanic or Latino origin; American Indian or Alaskan Native; Asian, not Hispanic or Latino origin; Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islander, not of Hispanic or Latino origin; two or more races, not Hispanic or Latino origin.
Where did you get this from?
This is actually on one of my job applications.
This is absurd.
That's why I'm saying
this is totally absurd.
Are we purposely keeping track of Hispanic? Is that the goal of this? I mean, they're not asking you, you know, are you not Asian or Caucasian? You know, they're specifically focusing in on Hispanic or Latino. And it's not
new.
It's on the majority of the applications I filled out in the last couple of years.
It's like we're trying to prove that there are more here than there are. We're trying to prove that the entire population shouldn't be Hispanic. I mean, we need to have. Well, see, it's all going to. I think it's all going to roll out in the end that everybody's going to be a combination of everything, because everybody's going to get together with everybody, and we're not going to be white or black. We're going to be brown, light tan or something. Everybody is going to be that, and we're not going to be any particular nationality or ethnicity, we're going to be just all one big giant thing. Just, and it's going to happen with with the people as well as the economy and the philosophies. And the only thing that I'm not sure is ever going to roll into one big giant thing is religion. People seem to hang on to that for some reason or other. And fight wars for it and the whole works. Has there ever been a war? I mean, well, there has in the United States over ethnicity, but it's or color or and they have these olden days. Let's just rephrase this: the olden days when the Irish, the French or whatever, and all that kind of war is over. It's all. Religion now. Of course, maybe that was what it was then, too. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's interesting. I mean, it's almost tempting just to put down that you are Hispanic and see if you can get the job.
Well, no, and that's the other thing. I wonder, okay, this company's that hands these out, how much they pay attention to them. When I was in position of hiring folks, I know that the forms that we filled out or we handed out did not have that detail on it, but there was an awful lot of the things that were required on those forms by the government that I ignored. I just absolutely ignored it. I needed to know what their name was and where they lived and how much money they want. And I did look over sometimes the qualifications of how much experience they had in the job or didn't have, whatever, and what type of experience. But say, I just ignored most of those forms and just come away so the government can come look at them anytime they want to, because if you don't have them, you're in big trouble.
Right.
And they don't actually ever look at them anyway, by the way. Come in and say, where's that file? And if you don't have that file, they fine you. If you do have that file, you're fine. You don't ever look at the file. I've never, ever, ever in the 420 years that I've been at this ever had anybody look at any specific file, any specific paper in the file. They just want to know if you have the file. And the only thing you do is open it up and look, see if it's actually got things in it. And if it does, then fine. They wouldn't know if you've them all and stuck them in there.
And that's true. When I had my business, when the I-9 forms first came out, that's all we were required to do is just stick them in a file cabinet, and not one person ever asked to see them, or did I have to turn them in anywhere. But I do know that ICE is cracking down on that, and if you don't have them on file, you are in big trouble.
Well, see, I've always been in the radio business. The radio business is a little more... Well, a little more controlled. It is a lot more controlled. And the Federal Communications Commission does come in and look at things. And I've been in a couple of instances where they've come in and asked about those files. And if you don't know where that file is, by the way, they put that down and you're fine. If you don't have the file, then they give you a giant fine. And if you do have the file and know where it is, they will usually go over and open the file drawer if it's in a file drawer. And just flip through the things and see if what's in there. But I've never had them ever look at any specific piece of paper from in there. And so, to be honest with you, I could have just copied all the crap and put it in there, and they wouldn't have known the difference.
Sure.
Of course, it'd be my luck. My luck, as soon as they hit it, then they'd look, but whatever. But they do. The Federal Communications Commission, as small as it is, does come in and check on things up significantly more often than I think most of the businesses visited by whomever it's to them, if someone is. But mostly because in our business, being on the air, we have the opportunity, if we wanted to mess up other people on the air by not paying attention to how our equipment is running and letting it get carried away or whatever. So they do pay attention to us, but...
Well, another important, or one other little item that I think is kind of interesting, is, I'm 25% Cherokee, and so that's enough that I can put down, American Indian or whatever. But what's interesting, and it only applies I'm looking at the list here of the definitions of each of the categories. And for American Indian or Native or Alaska Native, it says a person who has origins in any of the original peoples of North and South America, including Central America, now here's the kicker, who maintain a tribal affiliation or community attachment.
Right.
How many people in of other races are still maintaining or being required to maintain an attachment to their community, you know, their origins? I mean, I am what I am.
Well, if they're Native Americans, a lot of them.
Right, but not everybody.
Well, no, not everybody. But there are almost all Native American populations have. And again, that I can understand because they are actually being subsidized by the American government, by the federal government. And so being able to tell where they are and, you know, comes with our census thing that's coming around early. We're supposed to fill out the census thing. What is it? One page, 10 questions. And what got to me is it says on the television, it says one page, 10 questions should only take 10 minutes of your time. Well, it must be a complicated question. Each one takes a minute to fill out.
Right, so. Essay.
I ain't writing 10 essays for anybody. I don't care who it is. I'm old. I'm out of school. I've done all that stuff. Ain't going to happen. Sorry.
Well, my thing about the, and I don't want to get too much off topic, my thing about the census is, especially for what it was originally designed for, was just basically do a head count. And so if you want to know how many people are in my family, okay, that's cool. You want a rough range of my income, I can go ahead and see that. But maybe race or whatever, yeah, maybe. But beyond that, you know, none of your business.
Well, I don't know what they're asking beyond that, so I don't know. But I don't know.
The last one that came around, and my father was alive at this point, and, you know, my father was really legal beagle. In fact, he used to work for the Justice Department in Oregon. And he got the long form. Now, my father, you know, like I say, he's black and white, no skirting on any issues, whatever, follows the rules like crazy. He got down halfway through this thing, and he said, you know what? Screw this. This is none of their business. He threw it in the garbage.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, I was under the impression that people came out and asked you questions and counted. That's, in my lifetime, that's basically been the only way that anybody's ever counted me is come and done it.
Well, they do if you don't send it in. But anyways, we've got 7 minutes left in the show. If you'd like to call in,
is that right?
Comment, 646-721-9887. I did find one other thing here. The federal government, by the way, speaking of Hispanic or Latino, the federal government of the United States has mandated that in data collection and presentation, federal agencies are required to use a minimum of 2 ethnicity. I can't say that word.
Ethnicity?
Thank you. Hispanic or Latino and not Hispanic or Latino. Those are in quotes. The Census Bureau defines Hispanic or Latino as a person of Cuban, Mexican, Puerto Rican, South or Central American, or Spanish culture of origin, regardless of race. So again, it's apparently a federal government mandated thing that, like we speculated earlier on, that it's based on data collection. They just want to know how many Hispanic or Latino are in the United States, or at least applying for work.
Yeah. Well, it's still the only thing that gets to me is if when they start deciding who not I can hire. You know, there are certain instances where, you know, I should be allowed to hire anybody I want to or fire anybody I want to. And that just allows to. I can decide, you know, to have no Hispanic people in my business because maybe I don't want them. Or maybe I just decided to hire my friends and I don't have any Hispanic friends for some reason. Or maybe I can decide I only want Hispanic people in my business because they are my friends. I should have that option. I should not have to do none of this business the federal government deciding that I have to hire certain. And I know in the broadcast or in the entertainment industry, you set down who you have to hire. You have to have a certain amount of everybody. Yeah, that's just all there is to it.
Well, I'll agree and I'll disagree with you. Partly, I don't think race should actually be an issue. You know, as long as you're qualified for the job, same thing with gender. As long as you're qualified for the job, you can do the job, you should be able to have the job. On the other hand, we don't want to get back to, like back in the 50s or whatever, where signs were coming up saying no blacks allowed, or you had to ride in the back of the bus, or we don't want to get back into that era.
But that's not hiring them.
No, but it's segregating them based on race.
The one thing I do go for is now discrimination in pay. If a person like the big thing with between the male and female, if they were equally qualified, they should be in equal pay. Period.
Agreed.
And same thing as if it's white or black, or white or Mexican, or Hispanic, I guess is the proper word, sorry, because then that would, of course, eliminate all of the illegal aliens, because you'd have to pay them the same amount as you pay a male. And, of course, I know, and that's impossible, too, because you get into business of how experienced they are, how efficient they are, and they do the job properly. Because just because you've got two persons that are 40 years old and both of them have worked at X job all their lives, one of them could be considerably more proficient than the other, and I wouldn't want to pay both of them the same amount of money and get half as much work out of one as I do out of the other. So there are a lot of how do you really get into that, and how are you going to figure out how to do it? It's hard. It really is. As you come down to making laws, when you start coming down to making laws, it is really difficult. So that's why my opinion gets back to don't make the law. Don't make the law. That's what you have judges for. Judges interpret the law, yes, but judges need to be given some latitude to make a decision. I prove that George shouldn't build as many widgets as John, then I don't have to pay George as much money as John.
Well, that comes back down to skills and performance base.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Like you say, it doesn't matter if you're 20 years old or 40 years old, 60 years old, black, white, or male, female. If you can do the job and you can do the job well versus somebody that's just lack of a better word, a slacker, who's going to get the more money?
Right. Exactly. So maybe I need to pay by the widget.
Well, and one thing I wanted to do in my business, and I never got around doing it, and of course this was, I don't know, about 15 years ago since I closed my business, is I wanted to put up a sign on the front door that says, we are not an equal opportunity employer. We're an equal employer. But I'm sure that would have created a little bit of a stir, too. But
oh, God, yes. They'd have you in tomorrow.
Yeah, because I would argue. I'm not, because equal opportunities, I'm giving equal opportunity everybody to apply for a job. No, my theory was going beyond that. I'm employing everybody equally, but not just giving you the opportunity to put in the application and then ignore it. But anyway,
absolutely.
And because we are out of time, believe it or not, boy, the time flies.
Boy, it really does. Yes, matter of fact. Well, we'll be here again tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but next Saturday, same time, same station, so to speak. Same place, too.
Yeah, same place.
And
again, we invite you, if you have any show comments or ideas that you'd like us to kind of debate over, get in your email at caribbeanradio.com. And we're more than happy to hear from you, of course.
Yes, and then once you send in your idea, join us. Especially, one of the things we might mention is do this via Skype. So it's a neat way.
Wow.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.